Wow. And they're right. Man, aren't you glad the Lord takes care of us? You know, we worry about way too much. And He always takes care of us, always gets us where we need to be. Always does it. Well, praise God. Get your word out. Get your Bibles out. Go tonight, I think, to the Gospel of John chapter 8. I want to continue sometimes I'm talking to my wife and I'll tell her, I said, you know, sometimes I think maybe it's just me. I just get all excited and get a revelation about the word and everybody else is looking at me like, hey, stupid, we already knew that, you know. But I have just been like supercharged. I cannot read my Bible that I don't see something in there about repentance and sin. It's like it's just leaping off the pages to me right now. And everything I look at, I'm just like, I'm seeing things in a whole nother light than I've ever really seen before. And I don't know. I don't know if it's just me. It's just the time we're in or what the Holy Spirit's trying to say, you know, just to get us all to this place. Because I really believe that if we're going to walk as Christians in the freedom that God paid for us through Jesus. Get them. Okay? If we're going to walk in authority and we're going to walk in power and we're going to walk in victory, we're really going to do what the Bible says, we're really going to be Christians, then we have to come to a place in life that we're free from the past, free from sin holding us bound, free from, you know, just the lack of revelation of God's word, you know. And we've got to be people who know that we're washed in the blood of Jesus. You go read the book of James chapter 5. It says, call for the elders of the church, have an anointing with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. And if any of them committed sin, let them confess that sin and they'll be healed. Okay, what are we talking about? Sin? Right there. And healing. The revelation of they're free, they're clean, they're washed in the blood, and they receive their healing. Y'all with me? You go read all the scriptures and start looking at how many times they're tied to the word sin. But then when we look at the word sin, like I was saying Sunday, we get to this place in life where we feel like that sin is tied to judgment. And that sin is a man-made thing, in a sense. That man has brought up these, you know, shortcomings that we would have and said, oh, that's sin, or that's sin. Oh, you shouldn't be doing that. That's not right. You know, that's not the way we live. We got to do this, we got to do that, whatever. And that right there in itself is sin. You know? You know, it's so funny because years ago, and I saw him on TBN the other night, and I thought it was interesting that Arthur Blessed, you know, I know you, any cross carriers know who Arthur Blessed is, but he was like, I guess, one of the original, or maybe the original cross carrier. And I'll never forget a story he told one time that he went to church, a large church, and they didn't know who he was, really. They just knew what he was doing and carrying the cross, going over for the Lord. And so he just came in, you know, his plain clothes. I've never seen him dressed up, you know. I mean, the dressed up to him would be just to have on a shirt like I got on right now. And he came in kind of weathered looking and sat down in the church. And so he didn't go introduce himself to anybody, you know, he didn't say anything to anybody, and so he's just sitting in the church, and the pastor said, well, you know, Arthur Blessed, I told you he was going to be here today with us, and, you know, but, you know, I guess he didn't show, he's not here. And so he stood up and said, no, I'm here. And everybody's like, You know, because he was dressed in just an old tattered T-shirt and blue jeans. And the church just freaked out because, you know, this is a high polluting church with suit wearing and, you know, whatever. And there he was. And I never forget, he went up on the stage and they, you know, kind of like want to check his credentials out to make sure it's really him, you know. And so the pastor was on the spot and they gave him the mic. And the first thing he did is he knelt down and he began just to pray for the church and the attitude that the church had. And then all of a sudden the Spirit of God conviction came on everybody and this, the meeting was on, you know. And I always just thought about that because, see, people judged him by what he had on. Well, that's sin, folks. Because that's putting something inside of you that is not letting you view the way God sees things. But it's also sin if you feel like you're inferior or you feel like God doesn't love you. Think about this. Simplest scripture, one that we learned from childhood. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? That whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. But if you feel like you've done something that God doesn't love you, then you're walking in sin. And the sin is not what you did. The sin is you don't believe the word of God. The sin's not the act that you committed that made you feel unlovely. The sin is you're not believing God's word's true. So you could have somebody that wasn't necessarily committing acts that we would call sin. But yet it is sin because they don't believe the word of God. So then that takes it to a level to where every place in our life we have doubt that Jesus is going to do what he said he would do. If you say, man, I just feel like I'm so far away from God right now. But wait a minute, the scripture says he'd never leave you nor forsake you. So then that means he's right there with you. And only sin of your doubt in believing he's right there with you is what's keeping him away from you. Okay, in John 8 here, verse 1, we find this story of this woman who has been caught in the act of adultery. And see, it says, early in the morning he came into the temple and all the people came to him. He sat down, he taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought in him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to her, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Okay, so they're challenging him on the Mosaic law, saying, wait a minute, here's what the law says. She's supposed to be stoned. But you see, these guys couldn't catch the fact that there's a new covenant about to come into place where the issue of sin being the separation from God was going to be dealt with by his blood. They were saying there was no forgiveness for the woman. What she had done, there was no forgiveness. Well, you got to go back and remember the Old Testament was only to show man what he couldn't do. Right? So he says, so they tested him that he might somehow accuse him, and Jesus stooped down and he wrote on the ground his finger as though he did not hear. And I still say, I don't know, we'll get to heaven and watch the DVD on that one, but I really believe that he wrote their sins down. You know, I believe he wrote, you know, Motel 6, room 24. And somebody looked over, one of the Pharisees looked over and said, I don't know. Why was he doodling on the ground? So when they continued asking him, he raised himself and he says, okay, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone at her. But doesn't Romans 3 tell us that all of us are under sin? Right? We're all guilty before God. Without the blood of Jesus, no man can stand righteous before God. Okay, but in the blood of Jesus, that means we could all stand righteous before God. So then the sin problem has been dealt with. And the only thing keeping you from walking in the righteousness of God is your doubt and unbelief that his word's true. which is where repentance comes in. When we stop and see the ignorance of our ways and we stop and say, Father, forgive me, man, what am I doing? Then instantly, at repentance, at the turn of repentance, the power in repentance, the power of you coming to your senses, like the prodigal son came to his senses and he went to his father's house. When that power of repentance, that understanding that what you're doing, what you're thinking is wrong thinking, the moment that revelation comes to you and you hear it or you see it and you turn from it, instantly takes you into the throne of God. I mean, that is a powerful, powerful thing. It's so amazing that you could be wrong one minute and just be right the next through repentance. But see, we don't do it that way. Humans, we don't do it that way. You did something wrong. Okay, well, Dad, you know, you're going to have to, you know, we go into the works mentality of you got to make yourself, you got to prove yourself right again, and he didn't do this. Then we don't have a concept of that humanly. But we're not dealing with a human God. We're dealing with a God God. That's why he's God and you're not. And he says, man, if you'll just turn from your ways because Jesus' blood dealt with the sin issue, then instantly you come back here into the throne of God. You come right into my presence and I'll help you and we'll deal with it and we'll get on down the road. But we live trapped in doubt and unbelief because we don't come to our senses. And some of it we're doing because we've always done it. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. It's the Holy Spirit and the relationship with God that in the Holy Spirit, he comes to you and taps you on the shoulder and says, you need to quit doing that. The other day, I was going down the road, driving to work, and a thought came to me. And the thought wasn't a bad thought. You know, I mean, I wasn't like I was thinking, you know, a bad thought necessarily. But it just a thought came to me, and I started kind of dwelling on it, meditating on it a little bit, and then I was like, wait a minute. That doesn't line up with God's word. That thought I'm thinking is not edifying. It's not building me. It's tearing me down. That's not of God. I'm spinning. And so it's like the Holy Spirit said, yeah, cast it out. Get rid of that imagination. That's wrong. And I was like, oh, man, forgive me, Lord. I was thinking on this thing for 6 miles down the road, and I shouldn't have been, you know. Forgive me, Lord. I got over into thinking about this, and I shouldn't have. And so I just repent, quick to repent. Well, then it put me right back in the right place. Then there's no entanglements. There's no cords. There's no fish hooks. There's nothing holding me bound to that thought because now I'm free. You follow me? But we have to learn to catch it because what happens to us, and especially if you weren't raised being, you know, taught this, then what happens is we've got some unlearning to do. We've got the 2 Corinthians 5 taking our warfare is taking our thoughts captive, right? And then bringing it into obedience to Christ. And if we, you know, if that's a part of kind of, you know, a rut in our thinking, well, then it'll be just like ruts in the road, you know, you'll fall over in it. You know what's amazing? You can drive your truck or your car down a road and you may not feel ruts in the pavement. You know, your car just stays online. Do it on a motorcycle, though. Isn't that right? Man, you find ruts everywhere. Why? You got a smaller tire running down that path and it's more sensitive to the unevenness of the road. Well, what the Holy Spirit wants us to do in life is he wants us to be like on that motorcycle, finding the places in our life that we think are smooth, but they're really not. And we need some road work. We need to do some topping, getting it leveled out, getting it smoothed out in our lives because we're not running really right. We're kind of chasing some ruts going down the road. And nothing will throw a fear in you quicker then when you're just cruising down the road on your motorcycle, all of a sudden that thing goes like that, and you're like, whoa, whoa, what was that? You know what I mean? Tire about to fall off this thing. Isn't that right? I mean, it'll make you jump. That's right. You know, immediately you're down there looking and say, man, my tire's still on. What was that? You know? Well, when we have those experiences in life and we hit those ruts, that's the Holy Ghost trying to get tap and get our attention and say, look, we got to do some work in this area. You're not thinking right. You know, you're not thinking right. We got to get this thing leveled out. So the story goes on here. And you know the story. They all begin to leave. And then verse 10, Jesus said, woman, where are your accusers? No one has condemned you. She said, no one, Lord. And he says, well, then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Go get caught up. Forget about the adultery. Don't get caught up in that sin. Don't do it because it's going to keep you from me. I mean, that's the whole point. It keeps us out of the presence of God. It keeps us, whatever that sin is we're walking in, keeps us in, out of the presence of God, keeps us out of the throne room of God where our power and our authority is. Now, this is what I want to show you. If you go on down, so look at 21, verse 21. Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. And the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. And he says, you're from beneath, and I'm from above. You're of this world, and I'm not of this world. So he told them they're a bunch of bottom feeders. Right? He said, man, you're thinking off the bottom. You're a bottom feeder. You're not a top feeder. You're just thinking gutter thoughts. And he says, look, you're thinking like this world does. 24 says, therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now, think about that. He says, man, if you're not believing in me and trusting in me in the new way, in the way that we're walking in this new covenant, that my blood's going to cover your sin, then you're gonna die in your sins. Now, let's don't think about that as a literal death. Let's think about that as if we don't look to Jesus to get free from the bondages of our life, then what happens is we're going to die in that situation doing the same thing over and over again, wanting to be free but not being free because it's going to kill us. Right? It's going to choke us out so that we don't go to the throne room to hear what we need to hear, to do what we need to do. So I'm telling you what, it's pretty important then that we get ourselves straight and get our thinking straight. Hello? Y'all with me tonight? So then every time we think, well, you know, I'm not doing so bad, you know, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. Now, hey, you better go check that pavement in your thinking to make sure you don't have some ruts down there that you're just not looking at right. And don't think that everybody in the world needs to change to line up with you. Right? We do that a lot. And let the Holy Spirit take us over and look at the ruts in our own life. Now, he goes on down here and he says, then Jesus said to them, 28, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Jesus said that he learned from his dad. What did he learn? The words of his Father. He learned the word. And when he learned the word, it set him free. All right? Goes on and says, 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word and you are my disciples indeed, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. So again, we go back to this Hebrews chapter 4, that the word of God is living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll cut right through everything. If you want to level your road and get those ruts out, the only way you're going to do it is with the word. The word is the leveler. The Word of God is the part that comes on the inside of you and begins to work and begins to sand off all the rough spots and make everything good and level so that everything is smooth. No word, no level. No word ruts. Right? And I sound like a broken record so many times about, oh, you know, you got to pray the Word, you need to read the Bible, or you're reading your Bible, you're doing your devotions, you're doing whatever. But listen, you have got to get Word in you in order to be convicted. I was praying the other day, and, well, just to tell you the whole story, I've had some more complications with the radio. And so I was praying, Lord, what's going on here? Do I just nix radio, local radio, just get rid of it? And so... You know, honestly, there's a part of me that says, well, you know, forget it. And then I got to think, I said, you know, always have had that dream that a person would turn on the radio and just hear a blip or, not even knowing what channel they were on or something, and just run across a message I was preaching, just hear just a word or hear just a something, even if they were mad and trying to turn the radio off, but they got just a word in. And the Holy Spirit stopped me and he said, the only way a person can have hunger for me is to have to hear the word. And I thought about that. I was meditating on that. I thought, you know, you're right, because if a person never hears God's word, what God says to him, and then one day he's driving down the road and he sees a billboard and it says, Jesus loves you. And he may stop and say, Jesus doesn't love me. You know, I didn't tell a bunch of religious people, Jesus doesn't love me. Wait a minute, that word, Jesus loves you, got in his head. And if there's just a little gap opened up in his door, a little crack, and God gets that seed in there and can do anything with it, that's how hunger for God is developed in anybody. It's got to start with a word. Nobody's just going to naturally be hungry for God. Because as a fallen man, we're going to just have a desire to just do whatever we can to fulfill the desires of our flesh. But if a word gets in, so all of a sudden you just start to think about that. So then when you're talking to somebody on the phone, you say, hey, well, God bless you, have a good day. You slipped a little word in. You know? I meant to look it up. Maybe somebody in here knows. But I've heard the story, but there was a pastor that was preaching in his church, and he turned to the choir that day and turned around and said, I'm going to preach to the choir. And he preached to the choir, and in that choir was Billy Graham. I believe that's where the story went. We'll have to go research it. Maybe I've got two stories mixed up. But the point was, there was some man that preached the word that Billy Graham heard that got saved. The man didn't lead great revivals everywhere, but Billy Graham did. That word he got in there that day into that man changed his life, which changed thousands and thousands and thousands of people's lives. You don't know what word you're going to slip into somebody and put into somebody that is going to affect them, but then they may affect somebody else that had a big effect over here, and you're not ever going to know it until you get to heaven. So we need to be sensitive in our lives about the amount of word going in us, because the more amount of word you got going in you, the more paving you're doing in your life, getting the ruts out. You know, it's funny because I'm on roads today, because if you came up, were they through working on the road on 127, or they were working it when y'all came up? You know, and what are they doing? They're just topping it, right? They're just pouring more asphalt on it and just running across and just, you know, I mean, it, you know. No, they need practice. And so, but down south, all those heavy trucks are running over the roads and they keep topping them like that. And they look good for just a little bit, and then they start falling back to pieces because they're not really putting the road in correctly. They're just trying to cover up the holes, and then after a while it just starts, you know, and I'm telling you what, down there, it'll knock your front end out. I mean, there's drops where the pavement's gone if you're not watching to get out of the way. But we don't want to be like that in our lives. We don't want to just be covering up some stuff, you know. We want to really be fixing it right. Well, the only way you're going to do that is by the amount of word going into your life. Every day, you need to look at every day when you read your Bible or you listen to Christian radio or you're listening to the broadcast or you're on SoundCloud, listen to me. Hey, I tell you what, this SoundCloud deal, I love this thing. I don't know, I pray y'all are using it and telling people about it because I go in and listen to myself. And you can just put it on and just let it play for 5 minutes and then turn it off. And then you go back later, you want to listen some more, you just put it on and go again. And so I counted this morning, I listened for 3 minutes. And in 3 minutes, I got like, what was it? I got 8 scriptures in 3 minutes. And so I was like, wow, if anybody listened to those 3 minutes, boom, there was 8 scriptures was shot to them. You see, just 3 minutes. Forget about what listened to the whole message. I got 8 scriptures in 3 minutes. So I'm like, hey, that's word sowing. I mean, somebody get that pain. You know, God could use that one little bit to get in there. But think about yourself. Whenever you're reading, you're doing your devotions, you're doing anything you're listening to, think about yourself. Okay, Holy Ghost, use this now and work on me. Show me what am I supposed to be doing here? What's supposed to be? What do you want to do in my life? What do you want me to get me out of here? Because if then he reveals it to you, all you got to do is just repent. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I never had realized I was thinking like that. Repent and let Jesus take over. And then you know what? He's going to get it all down right. Everything's going to work out good. Life's going to change. You're not going to be hung, bound with a cord of sin. You know, I'm so on roads tonight. After all the flood came through, it kind of messed my road going to my house up. And so I had the skid steer down there. And I was trying to do some work with it, and I was doing it right after it rained, so it would still be kind of moist, and I could maybe move the dirt. And I realized, I never had really noticed it, but going up and down the road, all the gravel had come to the top and gone to the center, where the tires had pushed it over. But in the center, you know, I had this little hump, and it was just the gravel. And so I was leveling it out, and I was like, wow, you know, isn't that interesting? Because we always drive in the same spot. And the Holy Ghost told me, he says, yeah, you better watch it. You can't always drive in the same spot with your walk with Jesus. Don't just stay in the same spot because all you're doing is bringing all the gravel up and all the things, you're not really dealing with it, and there it all is. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm learning a lesson right here on the skid steer about the living for Jesus, you know? Got to get this thing straight. Got to get rid of these rocks. Got to get all this stuff right so that my thinking's right. Because there's no sense. There's no sense taking the stones out of your life from over here and just piling them up over there. You're just going to have to deal with them over there someday. Like our house is a continual work, you know. And I've done that a lot. Piled the rocks from over here that we were trying to get fixed and just put them over there. And then, wow, one day we start working over there and, wow, I got this pile of rocks. This pile of rocks is left from over there, you know. Just keep moving these things around. And that's not how we want to live our Christian life. Amen? So it's a powerful thing. Repentance, freeing you from the things of sin and getting it all straight, making everything level and smooth. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, praise God.